As Milwaukee Public Schools faces a lead crisis, public health officials say lead poisoning is a widespread problem in the state. It's Thursday, April 24th, and this is Wisconsin Today Morning News. Good morning, I'm Alex Crow. Coming up on the show today, Republican lawmakers are blasting DEI initiatives in the state following a recent audit. And there's a shortage of courtroom interpreters in Wisconsin. Sarah Lear will tell us what that means for the justice system. Stay with us.
Bookend your day with Morning Edition and All Things Considered.
In a new study, researchers used machine learning to discover that sperm whale communication is much more complex than previously thought.
NPR's Philip Reeves recently went to the former Soviet Republic of Estonia.
TikTok is fighting for its life here in the U.S.
The makers of the hit video app are suing the U.S. government in
But on the other hand, you are talking about universal themes like change. I mean, we are all continuing.
Weekdays on WPR News.
The Milwaukee Public School District has been dealing with the fallout of a lead crisis that's caused school closings. As Evan Casey reports, the problem is widespread in the state, with thousands of children affected each year.
More than 4,500 children in Wisconsin tested positive for lead poisoning last year. Lead used to be widely used in things like gasoline and paints. It can be found in the air, soil, water, and in our homes. And when children accidentally ingest it, it can damage their nervous systems and cause developmental delays. Lead-based paint was banned in 1978, but chipped and peeling paint in older buildings is the most common source of lead poisoning. Holly Nannis is a public health nurse with the Milwaukee Health Department.
And the only way for us to know if a child is lead poisoned is that they need to have the blood tested.
The state recommends children get tested at least once at age 1 and age 2. Evan Casey, Wisconsin Public Radio.
More than a dozen state lawmakers are calling on the Trump administration to allow for enhanced data sharing between federal agencies. 12 Republicans and one Democrat signed the letter. It's centered on a data sharing dispute between the federal agency that administers Medicaid, the Department of Defense, and the VA. The lawmakers say it's prevented the state from identifying veterans enrolled in the state Medicaid program who are eligible for federal benefits. Republican State Senator Andre Jacques signed the letter. He says connecting veterans with federal benefits results in better health outcomes.
There's just a higher quality of care and outcomes and access with the VA rather than, Medicaid as the payer. But then, of course, there's all the other supportive services.
He also says that data sharing would help ensure veterans' federal benefits take priority over state assistance. A Republican co-chair of the legislature's audit committee says a report on DEI initiatives shows widespread waste and, quote, rebranded discrimination from state agencies and public universities. Rich Kramer has more.
A public hearing of the legislature's Joint Audit Committee focused on a recent audit showing millions have been spent on diversity, equity, and inclusion initiatives. The audits are part of an ongoing push by Republicans to end government support of DEI programs. Before questioning agency leaders, Republican Senator Eric Wimberger claimed the audit exposed waste and the unconstitutionality of DEI.
Extremists have spiraled governmental and educational institutions into nonsense by moving the goalposts, never ever reaching the nondescript feeling that others are supposed to make them feel.
During testimony, a Department of Administration secretary said DEI initiatives are not new and were also promoted by former Republican Governor Scott Walker. Rich Kramer, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Wisconsin Democrats are proposing a bill that would expand abortion access in the state. It would do away with a Civil War-era law long interpreted to ban abortion that's currently being challenged before the state Supreme Court. It would also end other restrictions, like requiring that people pursuing abortions must attend counseling and view an ultrasound of their pregnancy. The proposal is not likely to advance, however, in the Republican-held state legislature. Democratic Senator Kelda Royce of Madison says the bill is meant to respond to voters.
This is clearly on voters' minds. Abortion rights are incredibly popular, and we need to show people that we are united, Democrats are united, in standing up for freedom.
Polling has shown that a majority of Wisconsinites from both parties support some form of access to abortion. A group of lawmakers is trying to boost the nuclear energy sector in Wisconsin. As Nick Rommel reports, two of their proposed bills had a public hearing yesterday.
One bill would commission a study on where new nuclear reactors could potentially go. The second would organize a nuclear power summit at UW-Madison. Republican Representative David Steffen helped write both bills.
We have a unique opportunity to make Wisconsin the Silicon Valley of nuclear energy production.
Paul Wilson is a nuclear engineer at UW-Madison. He says future nuclear reactors would be smaller than old-school power plants.
Many of the components that will go into those facilities will be built in a factory and shipped to the site and assembled at the site in a way that current reactors are not.
Wisconsin has at least two startups working on emerging nuclear fusion technology. Lawmakers said their bills come partially in response to the energy demands of AI data centers. Nick Rommel, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Coming up, Sarah Lear will tell us about Wisconsin's shortage of courtroom interpreters. Stay with us.
Music with more.
Most of all, I think what gets me excited is the back and forth with listeners. They respond to the music emotionally. They rely on it. For me to be able to share great music with our listeners is just an incredible honor.
Join Stephanie Elkins for Morning Classics on WPR Music.
And finally, without judges, lawyers, or clerks, Wisconsin's court system would grind to a halt. The same is true for court interpreters, who ensure that everyone involved in the proceedings can understand what's actually going on. But as Sarah Lear reports, finding the right interpreter is often challenging due to high demand for the profession.
When Remy Bashy first started as a court interpreter in Milwaukee County Circuit Court, she wore high heels to the courthouse.
Then I went to flats. Now I'm in the sneaker phase.
On a recent Friday, Bashy put those sneakers to work as she walked from hearing to hearing in the sprawling complex that houses Wisconsin's largest circuit court. As a freelance Spanish language interpreter, Bashy's services are in high demand.
I turned down almost as many jobs as I accept.
Under Wisconsin law, people with limited English proficiency have the right to a qualified interpreter in circuit and appellate courts. That applies to victims, their family members, witnesses, and people accused of crimes, says Kimberly Beyer, an attorney in Milwaukee.
In our country, the idea is that everybody in court is supposed to be equal. Just because you don't speak English as a native speaker doesn't mean you don't get to be in exactly the same situation as someone who does.
But Beyer's seen cases be delayed while a judge searches for a qualified interpreter. For some people, that can mean more time stuck in jail. Once, Beyer had a client who had to wait months for a resolution to his parental rights case.
It really was pretty painful having to tell him over and over, we don't have enough interpreters, so we're going to have to get a new date, because there's all this buildup to your court date.
Janice Palma is with the National Association of Judiciary Interpreters and Translators. Palma says many states, not just Wisconsin, are struggling with an unmet need for court interpreters. She says higher pay would help alleviate the problem.
There is a demand for certain skills and certain knowledge, but that's not being compensated at the level that is being demanded.
Most court interpreters in Wisconsin are independent contractors, and their wages vary depending on how commonly spoken their language is. Recent Wisconsin-wide data shows Spanish interpreters earn an average of $70 an hour. Hmong interpreters earn nearly $90. Being a court interpreter takes more than just being bilingual. As Palma points out, you have to process what's being said and switch it from one language to another almost simultaneously.
All of this is happening at the same time. Your brain is working overtime. And this is very difficult for some people to realize. This is a very high skill.
Bashy has spent years honing those skills. She's one of about three dozen certified Spanish interpreters in the state of Wisconsin. Wisconsin judges are supposed to use certified interpreters whenever possible, but certification exams are difficult and only a few people pass each year. Bashy believes those high standards are needed to ensure quality. She says higher pay and a more established educational pipeline could increase the supply of interpreters. Back in a Milwaukee County courtroom, Bashy puts on a black headset.
So this is the transmitter, and these are the receivers. So the interpreter speaks into the microphone, and the people that are wearing the headsets are hearing the interpretation.
Bashy interprets from English to Spanish and back again as a man is sentenced in a reckless driving case. The judge hands down some jail time, and Bashy takes off her headset. Then she's back on her feet in the courtroom hallway, waiting to be called wherever interpretation is needed next. Sarah Lear, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Our thanks to WPR's Sarah Lear for bringing us that story. Quick check of weather before letting you go for the day. We'll see a few scattered showers across central Wisconsin this morning. That should be clearing later on. Clouds elsewhere today with high temperatures in the 50s and 60s. Cloudy still overnight with some rain moving into the western part of the state later on. Low temperatures in the 30s and 40s tonight. And that'll do it for this Thursday. Lot going on. Thanks so much for joining us for Wisconsin Today Morning News. I'm your host, Alex Crow, and our producers today were John Davis and Bridget Bowden. As always, have a great rest of your day. We'll talk to you again soon.